Soldier Field, 24-17. Bears trying to get their 10th win. Here's the boot up in the air. Going up for it. Allen Robinson, he's got it!
I want to see the Bears give him an opportunity to prove that he can do this.
He's got the ball at the 43-yard line.
When all the signs in the world were there.
I think that'll be a fade-to-black moment with Allen Robinson taking it out of the air.
That's what you're really hoping for, that they really contribute to the team each year and that you build a great base and foundation.
And these loyal fans have been rewarded for their loyalty.
It was awesome. We picked up right where we left off. It was fantastic.
And they have a Bears team to be proud of right now. Takes the snap, takes a knee, they head to the field. The Bears have won it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of 34 to Glory. I'm your host, Tyler Flesh, joined by my co-host and father, Brian Flesh.
Hey there, Bear fans.
The intro will be changing eventually. We got to work on that. Obviously, it's not. The intro is a lot more positive than the actual realities of this season. I know that it's only one game, and I don't want to be hyperbolic, but I'm going to be hyperbolic because I felt after that game that not only my hope and expectations for the season, but as every Bears fan, and just got sucked. Just got sucked right out.
The air got sucked out of the entire stadium, let alone all the Bear fans that were watching from home. We had such high expectations, don't you think, coming in this game? And our high expectations, even if they were just moderately high, we're really, really concerned now, right?
Yeah, and we beat ourselves. The Packers are not a good team. I don't think they're that good. Our offensive line needs work still. We still haven't addressed that. Let's talk a little bit about the game before we get into the front office stuff, because I do want to address that, because some things have come to light in this week, and we will talk about that. We are recording on a Saturday, so we're thinking maybe Saturdays are going to be our new time and day. Saturday or yeah. Friday. So
yeah, I think it's working out pretty well.
I mean, like I said, I would like to do it like Monday, the day after the game, but like I said, I'm on the road, so we can't. Let's just talk about the upside. Jordan Love, not very good. Our coverage was so poor. He missed wide open guy. Like, he overthrew them by a lot.
I mentioned to you just prior to us coming on today that, you know, I rewatched the game, and man, we had some players who usually are in pretty good. Eddie Jackson missed some coverages.
So can we can we talk about that? Is it Eddie Jackson? Because I don't think it is.
You think it's more the system that Eddie Jackson's playing?
No, I think it's they don't know what they're doing. It's clear to me that it's the coaching. I'm giving all players a pass, and I'm not kidding. I'm not going to jump down any player's throat. The massive amount of confusion that was going on.
Oh, it's terrible.
You're week one. You should have an off season to work this stuff out. There were players pointing where they didn't know where they were going. One player saying, no, you're going here. And the other player saying, no, you're going here. And then the players were passing people off like they were playing a coverage, and they were playing man.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to go at the players, because I don't think you can get that bad that quick when it was everyone.
Yeah,
and it wasn't one player. It was everyone.
Oh, yeah. It was total. The safeties, the corners, even the linebackers people were out of position. You hit it right on the button. People were literally thinking that they had help over the top when they didn't. They had help side to side, and they didn't. I mean, the communication was about as bad as it can get. Now, obviously, it's the first game of the season. Do all teams have some rust when they're going against the number ones? Yeah, But this was more than just some rust.
This wasn't rust.
This was just a breakdown of communication across a defensive system and an offensive system.
But the reason I say coaching and the reason I want to stick with coaching is because it wasn't on that side of the ball. It wasn't on special teams. It was all the way around.
Yep.
Yeah. We got out coached like a mother. Like, it was not even close. On offense, I know Luke Getsy has come from the Packers. They knew exactly what we were doing. The coverage was there. Fields forced one and got a horrible interception. I can't. Here's my thing. I can't blame players who have had success in other franchises like DJ Moore, and then they come over and he got targeted two times.
That was sinful that he got targeted two times. Ryan Poles is sitting up there watching the game, and don't you think he's even thinking to himself, what the hell do we have going on here? I go and make a fantastic trade for DJ Moore. Young guy, talented, sharp, a clear number one receiver, and we target him twice. And I got to add this too, Tyler. This makes me so mad. I saw what Getsy said about DJ Moore being targeted just two times, and Getsy basically blamed it on Fields not seeing the field, and it was like, Getsy, take some ownership, would you, of your terrible play calling. Yes, did Fields make some bad reads? Absolutely. He threw into double coverage a couple times. A couple times he should have made some plays. But that's a part of the game. The bigger issue here was the bubble screens that did not work over and over again. The short stuff that did not work over and over again. The play calling, the lack of motion, the fact that these guys didn't adjust to the defense. I mean, after halftime, we made no adjustments.
I don't think that that's the case as much as I think maybe we did make adjustments. I think the case is that they literally knew they knew what Luke. It was like Luke handed them the playbook. It didn't matter what adjustment he made, Dad, because he's trash. I'm just being honest. He is trash. I look back. People were covered. Also, here's what I'd say to Luke. Hey, buddy, you're the dumbass who said if it's not there, check down. And you saw Fields doing a lot of that. There was a lot of him just checking the ball down immediately because shit wasn't there.
He had Tyler? He had the most checkdowns that he's had in the last 11 games occurred against Green Bay.
Okay, exactly. Who told him to do that?
Yeah.
Luke Getsy did. Like, fuck you, Luke. You can't be out here.
But that's what I mean. How do we get better when a coach who's supposed to be a leader, an offensive coordinator who's supposed to be a leader, takes zero accountability of anything he's done in terms of play calling? And literally, if you saw the interview, kind of was throwing the players under the bus, including Justin Fields, for making, you know, hey, we got to be sharper, make better decisions.
But again, it all comes back down to management. Like, is Ryan Poles a good GM? Because let's talk about what's happening now. The Claypool thing is a disaster. It has turned into a complete, utterless disaster. They said Eberflus said he put the tape on. He wasn't trying. He wasn't blocking. He wasn't this. He wasn't that. Now, I'm not making any excuses for Claypool. I'm not. All I'm saying is this wasn't a problem under Mike Tomlin. And now you come in for what, a year? Like, this is your second year, right?
You had five games last year?
No. I'm saying for Eberflus. This is your second year.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking Claypool.
Sorry. No, I should make myself more clear. Eberflus. In my opinion, this has nothing to do as much as, okay, we have a player not playing, as it does with, holy shit, he's losing the locker room already. And in my opinion, he is losing the locker room, because if you publicly have to come out against a player, why can't he just bench him and not talk about it and then talk about it after the game?
That's the professional thing to do.
I don't know if it's a professional thing. I don't want
to. It's the right thing to do.
I don't know if it's the right thing to do. All I'm saying is that's how I would do it. What I'm trying to say is, to me, when you look at all this and look how he's trying to get out in front of things, dude, you've been here for 2 years and you can't get a player to buy into your system who's got traded, who thought he was going to be the number one, who at the time had like, he's like, you know, I want to be a part of this. I want to show my worth. And in 1 week, he's done.
Yeah.
And it looks like he might not be a Bear again.
Yeah.
Again, not trying to be hyperbolic about all of this, but it, to me, Claypool was never an issue. Okay, and then he comes to the Bears and now he's an issue? What's really going on? Like, also, if you're sitting there at Ryan Poles, you got to think you're going to pull the trigger eventually, right? You have to think, if this season, if we don't start winning soon, because what they say, there's only 9 players on the roster from the Matt Nagy era now. So 9 players on the roster, you have a whole revamped system, and you look worse than you did last year.
Which I didn't think was possible.
A Hall of Famer left the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, and we got toasted.
Yeah.
Toasted. To me, it shows how important scheming and coaching really is, and again, we keep losing out, and I will harp on this because I feel like I have to. Did you watch the Miami game?
No.
Well, you watched
it. Parts of it.
But what did you see?
Oh,
high scoring offenses.
Absolutely.
You saw a guy named Tua Tagovailoa who couldn't even throw the ball. His rookie year, Mike McDaniel comes in. That dude threw 466 yards.
He actually could have been over 550 yards.
And then
easily.
And then what happened on the other side? Justin Herbert. Oh, who did they go out and get? A guy by the name of Kellen Moore, who we were high on in this podcast. It seems like, to me, everyone else can see what the hell is actually happening, Dad, except our front office. It's like when we go into the front office in the Chicago Bears, blinders.
I want to mention something here because I think it really fits with what you said about the front office. I hope the front office walked into the Bears locker room, the Bears practice facility, and spent time with the players, because here's what the Chicago Bear beat reporters are saying about the players and their attitude this week. And that is, they have never seen some of the players so down, so low, so dejected, okay? What does that tell you? That's after one game. Now, granted, it was the Packers. We hate the Packers. I don't like losing. I especially don't like losing to the Packers. But when all the beat reporters, not just a few of the Chicago beat reporters, but when all of them are talking about how low the morale is and the attitude in that room, again, it gets back to, where's your coaching? Where's your leadership? Have people bought into the system? Does the system even work? I mean, come on.
It wasn't necessarily the loss. It's how we lost.
Oh, it was absolutely how we lost.
Exactly.
And we played like shit.
Well, and so did the Packers, in my opinion. I don't think they played that good. They just knew exactly what we were doing, because Luke Getsy in 2 years has not changed from, he has a system. This is how the system works. This is what the system does. This is the system. No, buddy, it doesn't work. Again, quit going after coaches who haven't earned a right. Eberflus has not earned a right to be an NFL head coach. He has not earned that right in the least bit. You gotta find an offensive mind, a creator, or you find somebody who has an offensive, I mean, who is offensive minded. Like what I'm trying to say is what the Chargers did. They said, okay, we're going to bring in Kellen Moore. So they brought in Kellen Moore, and look, everyone who plays fantasy football was like, whoa, Justin Herbert now. Like, holy shit. Like, we got to go grab him. This offense is going to be high flying. It's going to be back. They lost, but it is. I mean, they put up 34 freaking points. What I'm trying to say in all this is there's clear paths, there's clear roads, and clearly we don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah. So, you know, we said this, you and I both had our concerns when Eberflus was hired. And the big concern was, why are we getting a defensive coordinator to become our head coach? Why not get someone who's known for an offensive kind of strategy, offensive kind of mind?
And this goes back to Ryan Poles. It feels like Bears. It feels like Boys Club. Because he knew who Eberflus was, and they had a relationship prior to the hire. Well, that's... Listen, I don't know where this got lost, but this is a fucking business. So treat it like one. Because it is. I don't care about your friend being hired, okay? What I care about is your friend being able to do the job. And clearly, because he was friends with Luke Getsy, why are you hiring a quarterback coach to be an offensive coordinator when how hard is it to tell, well, what has he even done? You know what I mean? Like, that's the hardest part, because Aaron Rodgers is so dynamic. To me, I don't know if I can hire someone other than Andy Reid. Andy Reid's the only one that comes to my mind. Hire someone who already has a great quarterback, because Andy Reid's already done it with the Eagles, and now he's doing it again with the Chiefs. And to me, it's like, why not go out and find, okay, Kyle Shanahan. Again, we bring this up all the time, but it's just the truth. Kyle Shanahan has this tree. Let's go pick from the tree.
Yeah.
But instead, we go over to shithole Indianapolis. And I'm not saying that the city's a shithole. I actually like Indianapolis. I want to clarify. I'm saying the Colts are a shitty team. So, and I will stand by that. I do not like the Colts. I do not like their fan base. We go over there and we keep plucking over there. And it just feels like, correct me if I'm wrong, Boys Club, right?
Yeah,
they're just hiring their friends and ex-Colts.
It does feel like that. And you know, there's been some other really great hires. Like, we had the opportunity to get Miami's current head coach. Wow.
Yeah, Mike McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel.
Well, I don't know if you know, but Mike McDaniel, guess who, he got himself a hell of a defensive coordinator in the offseason.
He sure did.
Vic Fangio.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? That team is looking good. I'm not saying they're going to win it all, but they're looking good. Gang, we have to realize, Bears, you have to realize, this is the new NFL. Defense and running the ball is not going to cut it, okay? You got to have motion, and you got to be able to do the play-action pass. Yes, does the run set up the play-action pass? It does, but you know what? You can't be so frickin' predictable. I mean, when you can predict the plays over and over again, you think if we're doing that on our couch that professional players can't do that out on the field? Give me a break.
I mean, if you look, I said this last time, if you look on paper, we have a hell of a team.
Yeah.
But paper doesn't win games, and it's disheartening this whole season. I don't think we...
It's taken the air out of the balloon. It really has.
Do you think there's a point where he gets fired halfway through the season?
My God, I hope so, Ty. Yeah. I mean, he can... Tell you what, here's the deal. It's one thing to lose games like Green Bay. It's another thing to lose the game how we lost it. You have too many more of those games in which there are communication issues on both sides of the ball. There are handoff issues on both sides of the ball. There's no blocking on the offensive line or very little blocking on the offensive line. You've got people being outside of their gaps and not in the appropriate gap coverage on the defensive line. You've got linebackers not going side to side. You got, I mean, there were so many things you don't even know where to begin.
Well, I know one. Can you explain to me why we do not want to address the offensive or defensive line? We have zero pass rush. Zero.
Yeah. I mean, we addressed one position successfully in the offensive line, and that was Darnell Wright.
Darnell Wright was manhandling people.
He was a beast. He was a beast. Okay. But to your point, Ty, and where I think you were going is, yeah, we haven't addressed it. We came into this year knowing that the offensive line was a problem, and guess what we showed the first game? It's a problem. It's a problem still. And it's not just a small problem. We are not, again, that line has not worked together much. We had lots of injuries during the offseason. They showed that they hadn't worked together much on last Sunday, right?
Right.
I mean, that really was on full display. If we go into Tampa and we have not just an L for a loss, but we have another poor offensive, defensive, and special team showing, you know what? At that point,
well, get ready, buckle up, because I think that's exactly what we're going to see.
Yeah,
we can't. Their defensive line is good. Their defense is good. We're in trouble.
They have a guy by the name of Vita Vea.
We're in trouble.
He will blow that center up. Okay.
I mean, and also, Baker Mayfield's going to make good throws if our defense plays the way we did.
Yeah. And let me tell you something else about the Bucs. What do the Bucs do more than any other defensive team?
Blitz.
You got it, buddy. And they're going to... And after watching... If I was the Bucs defensive coach after watching that game, I would be blitzing the shit out of our offensive
line. Why didn't we blitz more? Like, that, you know...
Yeah, we should have, but we didn't. But that is going to be the really big issue, because they saw how porous our offensive line was. Does that line scare anyone? When you can get through that line like you can get through Swiss cheese, man. There are lots of holes.
When do we get our first win?
That's a great question, Ty.
Because I tell you what, we're about to go 0-3. We're not beating the Bucks. We're not beating the Chiefs at home. Then the next game is Denver. And the Broncos come to Chicago, maybe.
Maybe.
The Commanders and the Bears play the Commanders on Thursday Night Football. I don't know. I don't know.
Commanders have still a good defense, man.
I'm to the point where I don't see a win.
Yeah,
we could literally be the 1-2 pick of next year with the Panthers. Because we get the Panthers pick, so we ruin for the Panthers to lose. If they lose, we could have the number one pick again.
Yeah, we easily could.
And we'll blow that.
We easily could. Here's my fear about, we were just talking about the Bucks Bears game coming up. Here's my biggest fear about that. My biggest fear is that Fields tries to overcorrect for the lack of targeting DJ Moore, and all of a sudden he's now locked into DJ Moore from the moment DJ Moore leaves the line all the way down the field, and now we have Fields getting picked off because now he's literally overcorrecting by targeting DJ Moore too much. What do you think of that? Yeah, I think that's a real possibility.
I don't. In the aspect of, there's no offense, man, so there's no game plan. I think you're going to see more Fields just getting frustrated, period. I'm not worried about him. Fields doesn't seem like he's the kind of guy that gets caught up in, he needs the ball, I'm going to force him the ball. I think he got more frustrated at the aspect of, this isn't working.
Yeah.
No one's open. There's no creativity. I'd be more concerned about that.
Are we in agreement, though, that Fields will be running for his life with blitzes?
Yeah. He could very well get hurt this game. They're going to counter it with smoke screens. We're going to screen a lot, and it's not going to work. It's going to get blown up. Sunday, if you're a betting man, take the Bucks. Bucks are only -3. They're going to absolutely destroy us. You might even see a defensive touchdown from the Bucks. You can't be a head coach and start off with only 3 wins in the season last year, and then this year you're looking at the same result.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to go 0-3. And the Chiefs are going to destroy. The Chiefs are going to destroy us. That is going to be an ugly game. They already set the line at -11.5.
Oh. I wouldn't be surprised if that goes up to 14.
All I'm saying is, unfortunately, we have a long career or a long season ahead of us. And again, it just baffles me. I know we're not the only podcast that talks like this, but the thing that baffles me the most is I know without a reasonable doubt that I could do a better job as a GM than what we've had. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm not just saying that about me. I'm saying that about our listeners. I'm saying about people that actually give a fuck about this team. That people actually care, because it seems and feels like they don't care. Like, Eberflus was a horrible hire. A horrible hire. We all knew it was a horrible hire. Okay, we struggled offensively with Matt Nagy. So what do? We go out and get a defensive coordinator from the struggling Indianapolis Colts?
So let me ask you, I'm going to use this as a metaphor because I think it's a great metaphor. When you get on the wrong train, going in the wrong direction, and you make a mistake, like the mistake we made with hiring Eberflus, the best thing you can do, what, is to get off as soon as possible and get on another train going the other way, right? That's the best thing you can do, because the longer you stay on that train, the further away from your goal you get. And that's exactly how I feel where we're at right now with the Bears, is we're staying on the Eberflus train way too long. And for those of you that saying, hey, you guys are hotheads, you're overreacting.
If you watch
the game,
it's not overreacting when this is year two. And you come out this flat. And now, look, you're going up against the Bucks and the Packers. Packers lose Rodgers, Bucks lose Brady. And you're still going to lose. You're going to lose to a quarterback who is drafted #1 overall and is struggling to find his place in the NFL. And you're going to lose to that. Mm-hmm. And you're going to lose bad to that.
And one of the things you and I said over and over again is, give Fields the tools around him so you know who you really have. I still think Fields is a good quarterback. But again, will he be able to show up with this offensive line this year?
It's just the most struggling part in all of this is that we can see things that aren't getting fixed, that need addressed, and that are an issue. I don't know how much more I have in me before I'm not kidding when I say I know I can do a better job. I know that I can. Like that, and it's not me being arrogant, cocky, whatever you want to call it. I'm saying our listeners too could do it feels like, why don't we have someone in office that feels the way we feel? And I think that's the hardest part that I'm struggling with, because
they lack passion, right?
God, they lack passion. But more than passion, creativity.
Oh.
We're still obsessed about running the goddamn ball. Running the ball doesn't work like that. Running the quarterback doesn't work like that. Thursday night, like, our division is in shambles. The Eagles just didn't wipe the floor, but they just beat the Vikings. The Vikings are 0-2. The Packers are 1-0. Detroit is 1-0. Lucky 1-0, by the way. In my opinion, our division's wide open, but it's also not wide open, if that makes sense to you, because I believe the Lions are ahead of us, way ahead of us.
Oh, they're light years ahead of where we're at right now.
The Vikings aren't. The Vikings are not. And I don't think the Packers are very good. I'm going to be completely honest. I think Detroit wins the division. I think we're looking at dead last. I think it's going to be a race between us and Minnesota for dead last.
Yeah, I think Atlanta beats the Pack, by the way, this weekend. But anyway.
Oh, that's a bold prediction.
Yeah, I'm predicting it right now.
So here, who has a worse...
Can I back up to something you said that's important?
Yeah.
Again, you talked about the importance of the running game. I just want to remind people that look how the running game has changed even in the last 5 years. Of the 32 teams, how many have running back by committee at this point?
Everyone.
28 of them. There's only about four teams that have a number one committed guy to running the ball and only running the ball, and he takes the majority of carries. The NFL is changing, and the Bears front office is not changing with it. That's huge.
Yeah, but we've been on this since day one. That's the problem. I sit here and I do a podcast with my father, and I can tell you right now that you're fucking up. How can that be? How can I do that? I should not be able to do that. And it's, again, not just me. Every fucking fan can see this. And it's so aggravating that we sit here. There is, in my opinion, two franchises that have it worse than us. Two, and that's it. We're in there, top three. One, I'm just gonna say it, Detroit Lions. They haven't been to the playoffs since the 90s. Not even the playoffs. So they definitely have it worse. And a close second has to be the New York Jets. They just lost Aaron Rodgers in four plays.
You know what? I am not a Jets fan, but I'm telling you, Tyler, if you don't have a heart, and I'm not particularly an Aaron Rodgers fan, but that talk about deflating, I felt so bad for those Jets fans. I felt especially bad for myself because I have Wilson as my wide receiver, but that's a different story. But you know what I mean? When he went down, you just had to feel for those fans, man, because they were just kind of riding that storm, and that stadium was electric, and then boom. And you know what? Even though we didn't have that experience like the Jets fans, didn't we feel a little bit that way by the end of that Packers game, or even halfway into that Packers game, like, God, our hopes are being dashed again.
Yeah, but at least they had a defense, and they won the game.
Yeah.
They beat them, so we don't even have that. As far as this year goes, the only upside is that we don't have a team and we'll get another great draft pick. But at this point, what does it matter? Because we keep fucking that up, too.
Yeah. So the question will be, Ryan, do you have the balls to pull the trigger and halfway through the season... Maybe even less than halfway through the season.
If we go 0-5 or 0-6, he has to go. It has to just be like, goodbye. Done. There's no excuse. There's literally no excuse. You have a team that can win. You have a team that on paper should be better than most teams. We should have started out with a win. We looked so god-awful. Now, Eberflus has even said I don't know what's going on with our defensive coordinator, but Eberflus is taking over now.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's family issues going on. I don't know. All I know is that with what has transpired, week two, we're already making these kind of changes is not a good sign. We're benching a player. We're already having the defensive duties being taken over by the head coach. This is shit that happens week 10, yeah. week 12. This yeah. is not supposed to happen week two. I mean,
yeah.
That's why I'm saying we're not being, I don't think we're overreacting enough, in my opinion. And I've talked to some other people who are Bears fans, and they just want to hang it up. They said, but we're not going, obviously we're not going to. It's just something we say. We're not actual Colts fans who just give up. And I will always take shots when I can at the Colts fan. I'm telling you, I live in Indiana. Go to a supermarket when the Bears aren't playing and the Colts are, you'll just see people in Colts jerseys walking around doing their shopping. It's like, guys, you know the game's on? And they're like, huh? The point being that I don't know. I'm trying to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I can't. I really don't think I can.
Yeah, it's really hard to see right now. If you're a Bears fan, it's just I've had a stomach full of this for so long, and you know we all want to see us do better, and right now we're just heading in the opposite direction of better. We are heading in a very, very, very disengaged, disorganized franchise at this point in time, and it's got to turn around. It's got to turn around for we have some of the most loyal fans in the NFL. Do you not think so?
Yeah,
I mean the Bear fans are loyal,
but and I also think too that we might have. Well, I'm just going to be honest here. Do we find ourselves in a situation where Fields is not going to be our quarterback? Because let's not forget, that was Ryan Pace's move. And if the team starts failing the way I think they're going to fail, and if somehow either we trade for it or we get it, Caleb Williams is, they're saying, they're comparing him to Patrick Mahomes. I have not heard anyone say a bad thing about him. I'm worried that we go out and we somehow end up with the first round pick, or the first pick because of the Panthers, or just we get it again back to back, which is unbelievable, would be unheard of. Especially for our franchise. And
We might be competing with the Arizona Cardinals for that one.
I don't know though, Dad. They look like they were playing a lot harder than us. That was a lot closer game. I'm just saying.
Sam Howell made that a closer game because Sam Howell was holding the ball, I mean, for an unbelievably long period of time.
But how do you tank?
So he made the Arizona defense look a lot better.
How do you tank in the NFL? How? I'm being dead serious. I don't buy tanking in the NFL because, yeah, your GM could want you to tank, but these players are on contracts with incentives. These, you know what I mean? These players are playing for other contracts. So how are you going to tell them, hey, just take the year off?
I'm not buying that they're tanking. What I'm buying is that they've gotten rid of a lot of pieces. And when you get rid of so many key pieces on your team, even if you're not tanking, you're still having to reorganize who you're playing with, how you're playing with them, getting to know the men around you and how they handle.
Okay. And I understand that. But what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that we have to get the first round pick or the first pick of the draft. What I'm saying, I can't believe we're having this discussion also in week two, but why the fuck not?
Yeah.
My theory is, what if we have draft picks? I'm not saying we need to go out, lose, okay, there, we're going to get it. What I'm more fearful of, because if we did that, I'd be okay with getting Caleb. I'd be like, you know what? Why not? He's the best player at the best position, the best in his class. Go for it. That's not what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about going all out for him to trade because we have the picks. And I feel like polls will be like, I got to do this. This is what I got to do.
Well, and I think what the one lesson the NFL has taught teams over and over again is when you do things out of desperation, you rarely get your return on investment.
He is good, though. He's really, really good.
Yeah, I don't know, Ty. I don't know him like you know him. I haven't looked at him.
That's
fine. Research team.
But watch him tonight. Okay. That's all I'm going to say because you're going to want to. Honestly, I'm not just bullshitting you, Bears fans. If you don't know who he is, you're going to want to start watching him because his arm talent and his arm strength, it's something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know this is crazy to have this conversation, but like you look at the schedule, we went through part of it. There is nothing there. He's going to do something drastic. If this goes the way it is, because you can't come in here. You can't. Your first year, he got away with it, right? That was a bad year. Well, okay. You had all the cap space in the world. You made the moves you wanted to make. You know, all that happened. Eberflus is obviously not the guy. He'll continue to not be the guy. So that's why I led it up into draft talk, because I can see polls going, okay, hey, you know what? Shit, not my guy. We got to go get my guy, and we got to get rid of Fields.
So what if this? Let me run a scenario by you. What if, and God, I hope this doesn't happen, but I could see this happening. What if Everflub lasts the entire season and we do nothing the entire season? We're sitting here in the last game in January. We're maybe 1-15, something like that. Could even be 0-16. I mean, come on, gang. Look at the team that we saw last Sunday. We are far away from wins right now unless we find some way to turn things around. So what happens if that occurs? Right? Because that's a real possibility. Do you think?
Yeah, I also messed up. USC doesn't play tonight, so.
Oh, okay.
Watch him next week.
All right.
But I'm just saying that.
Do you think that could really happen?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, man. I feel like I've woken up from a dream that's not a dream, and I'm having problems accepting reality. And I'm not making that up. I'm having a hard time believing that we're this bad already.
Yeah.
I'm having a really hard time with it because it doesn't make sense other than coaching. It can't be players. It just can't be players.
The talent level can't drop that much, right?
How do you go out and get... He would have... If DJ Moore came into our... If he played with the Bears, all his yards are more than any other Bears wide receiver ever. That just shows you how bad the Bears have been through history at the time, and we continue to want to hire fucking defense. Monster of the Midway is over. It's dead. It's buried.
By the way, you just brought up something that really pisses me off. Look what we paid for our linebackers, Tyler. Can you honestly look at that Green Bay game and how those linebackers played with those contracts and say that was a good deal? Seriously. I want to know.
Wow. I don't know.
Paid Edwards hell of a lot of money.
I think that it's going to be... It's dead. There's going to be a lot of talk about this season. It's going to be very interesting. Yep. It's going to be... Okay, let's just talk like this. If we're out here, when's the trade deadline? Week 6, right?
Yep.
Did we do anything? Is there anything to do?
I know.
Right?
I'm silent there because you know what I'm
coaching.
Thinking?
Because it's coaching.
Exactly.
Good news for us. You can trade coaches.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. Sean Payton.
He's not gonna go.
No, I know, but example of trading coaches. I'm just saying.
Because he got traded.
They just traded. I just threw out an example.
You meant Sean Payton. I was like, we can't do that.
No, he just got traded. I was just using an example.
Is there anyone out there worth it?
Oh, there are coaches out there that are worth it, but they're not in a position that they're going to leave their teams.
Well, they don't have a choice if they're traded.
Yeah. But again, good coaches like Kyle Shanahan, Mike McDaniels,
that's not what I was proposing. What I'm proposing is, why don't you do something that's never been done? And why not? Trade for an offensive coordinator and make him the head coach. He's going to take that. That's what you do in the offseason, right? You find the guys who you think have shown the must and give them a chance to be the head coach. Now, you would be putting them in a crazy, crazy, unheard of situation, but why do you have to follow the rules?
Well, yeah, because you're already in a train wreck, right?
Right. Like, what? I mean, honestly, why? Look, if I'm drowning, and if I get into a shipwreck, I'm grabbing on everything for survival. So why not give it a shot? There are no rules at this point when the ship is sinking. And the ship is sinking. And the ship is sinking fast.
Yeah.
So why not, like, trade? And I'm just bringing his name up because it's the first thing that popped in my head is, like, a Kellen Moore. See what they want for him.
Mm-hmm. How about Bieniemy?
I mean, you could have got him in the offseason, so yeah. I don't like that move.
Yeah, I know. But again, you know, I'm thinking of kind of offensive-minded people who've got a bit of a track record.
But he's already a head coach. He's not going to...
I know.
Why would he... I don't think that would...
Yeah, I know. I'm just bringing up some ideas. But I love where you're going with it. I think it would be an incredible move. It would be very un-Bear-like. Given
but
our history.
Thank you. Right there. Just what you fucking said. We need to be un-Bear-like because we've been fucking hibernating too damn long.
Thank you.
Since 06. We have not been to a Super Bowl since 06. That is pathetic. I'm sorry. It's just pathetic. Like, and I know that's high expectations, but goddamn, I'd like to see us win once before I'm dead. I'm not over-exaggerating. I don't know if I'll ever see it. Because we continue... The McCaskies keep bringing people in, and these people are just collecting fucking paychecks. Here's what you need to do. Go outside. Go find a fan, and I'm not making this up. Go find someone who is going to watch your shitty-ass team every fucking week play on that field, and you hire that fan to change that around. Because you know why? Because that fan's going to want to see them win. That fan is going to want to do something because whatever is sitting up in our front office is shit, and it's getting even worse. It's like nuclear shit. I the radiation is from the McCaskies is flooding all over. They have taken what George Halas has created and turned it into dog shit. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The franchise is dog shit. And for us to keep going, well, that's not very Bear-like. Well, maybe something needs to change, and it does need to be fucking Bear-like. Because I can't, I'm telling you, I can't take much more of this.
Yeah. Well, Tyler, I tell you what, I think you said it very well. I think you said it very well.
I don't know what to do, and I don't know where to go from here. Because, like I said, yes, there's some franchises that have it worse, but again... It's top down, and we've discussed it, and we've talked about it, and we've...
Yeah.
It just... I don't think, as far as the trade deadline, I think that... Because what does it say about a GM if he doesn't do that? And I'm being dead serious. What does it say about a GM if we don't do any moves? You're no better than all the other GMs. So is it like when you go to Chicago, are you greeted with a rule book, a GM rule book that you have to follow, that you can't do certain fucking things? I'm being dead serious. It's what you struck a nerve when you said that's not very Bear-like, and not on you by any means. But it's the truth, though, right? That's the problem with it.
Yeah.
It was the truth. And the truth, you know what they say about the truth? It'll piss you off before it sets you free.
It will. And I would say we're both pissed off. And I bet you every other Bear fan out there that's a true Bear fan is pissed off right now, is wanting to see change. The issue is, gang, will we see the change we need to see to get our Bears, who we love, back on track?
No. And I brought this up last year at the end of the podcast, and I said we're years and years away. By hiring Eberflus, did I not?
Yep.
I said he's going to put us in the hole for years.
He may just have done that.
No, he did. It's done. It's not he may just have. It is done, dusted. The dude can't tell. Also, he looks lost. He looks like he doesn't know the rules of football. He is the biggest joke I have ever seen in my life.
I don't know. I saw Matt Nagy on the sidelines. Matt Nagy would look pretty lost.
13-3.
Yep.
So no, I mean, I'm sorry, I disagree completely. Matt Nagy won his first year. Matt, you can say whatever you want about Matt Nagy. He won Coach of the Year, and he had a great fucking first year. You're not even getting a fraction of that out of Eberflus. So you might want to retract your last statement, because when you sit long and hard on it, this dude is a fucking joke. He is a homer. Oh, my God, the homerisms. Is Jonathan Taylor getting traded? You know what? That's going to be the fucking move we do. We're going to go out and get Jonathan fucking Taylor. That will piss me off. I don't even know what I'll do. I'm getting so mad just even thinking about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that happening too.
I mean, what's the point?
Yeah.
We got some more time to go, buddy. I know you keep wanting to get out of here, but...
Yeah, but it just seems like we've kind of beat this horse into submission.
I don't think we have.
Go for it.
Well, obviously, you want to get going. Like, you're not really you're not really being a team player right now.
No, I...
You're just going, uh-huh, and one more answer. Bring something else up.
From my perspective, we have beat this issue into the ground in terms of Eberflus. Everybody knows Eberflus is a bad coach.
No, that's not what that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I bet we go out and do something stupid like Jonathan Taylor. I switch topics. I need you to come with me, join me on this journey for a little longer.
And what I said was, I sure hope we don't do that. I sure hope that is not something that happens.
But what do you want to see happen?
I want to see.
Is there anything? Because when I asked you earlier, you paused, and that pause gave me everything. Because I said, "Would you trade?" And you go, "Ugh." And because you couldn't think of anything off the top of your head, could you?
Because you know why? Because everything is such a mess.
Exactly. I know.
You can't point to one thing.
You did to me what I did to you earlier. That's what happened when you said, "Well, that's unbearably." And then when I said, "Well, who would you go out and get?" There is no answer because it's the front office. I don't know where to go from here. I really don't know what to do as an Oregon. Like, what do you do? Other than you gotta, like, is it too, when's, okay, here's a question. When's too early to fire him?
If we lose this week.
But, let's play the game we always do. I would have already had him fired. Not just saying that, just being dead honest. I would have already fired him. What about you? Like, when would you fire him?
And realistically,
no, I'm saying you. I'm not saying them. I'm saying you.
I would say if we go 0-3, I'd fire him.
Okay, so I would have already fired him. You're saying 0-3.
Yeah, after the Kansas City game, boom. Done.
What's the likelihood here? Now let's play. We're Ryan Poles. What do we predict Ryan Poles is going to do? Because that's the biggest question. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can see your wheels ticking, and I think you're saying I don't think he's going
to
do it.
That's right. That's exactly what I'm going through. I'm trying to picture that happening after 0-3, and as much as I personally want to see it happen, I think he sticks by his guy.
Now, I am going to disagree with you a little bit here.
Please do. I don't. Because I need some hope.
I don't think he's going to disagree with his guy. I think he's going to get rid of him. I think he'll lose the locker room very fast, and the media will eat him alive.
He's already lost the locker room, right? We think?
I think he's on the verge. I mean, but, you know, look, when it comes down to it, the media is going to eat him alive. The media is already asking questions. There were already boo birds week one in Chicago. This fan base is growing restless, and I think he's going to have to make a move. I don't think that has the opportunity to go about business as usual because of all the changes, because of the cap space, because of having the first pick in the draft, because of all of that. And then you can't just trot out there and do the same old shit and lose all over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, in my opinion, I think, man, I would say if we're not where we need to be and we're losing consistently, Thanksgiving, see ya. You know, they say Black Friday and then Black Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, as far as I'm concerned, that's when I think he'll do it. Will he do it? I can't say that he will, but I'm about 80%
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Because, okay, and like, look at this, too. We can go through it real quick. As far as schedule-wise, where they would be at, you know, by Thanksgiving here, and I'm bringing up the schedule as I talk, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly fast by Thanksgiving. And let's just go through some of it. Okay. It's goddamn.
Let's walk through it.
I'm just going to go through them real quick. So Bucks, Chiefs, Broncos, Commanders, Vikings, Raiders, Chargers, Saints, Panthers.
Oh, my God. The Raiders, Chargers, Saints, Panthers. The only win possible when I could see there is maybe the Panthers. Maybe.
Lions.
Nope.
Vikings.
Mm.
And that wraps up. That's the schedule then. Till...
We could easily be no wins going into Thanksgiving.
I don't think that's over an...
I don't think it is either.
I really don't. I'm completely with you on that.
God. Tyler, if we come out and the first two plays on offense are bubble screens, I will lose my mind, man.
It's going to happen.
I will lose my mind if Getsy comes out there and the first two plays he does are bubble screens for 0 yards or -1 and -2 yards. And I can so see him doing that again.
I think the only thing that would give this franchise hope is if Pace does fire Eberflus quick. I think that means that, okay, you're serious about winning. I think if you wait as long as I think it's going to take, or if he waits not at all, I think then Pace needs to be fired.
So
Poles needs to be fired. I keep saying Pace. They have the same damn team. Matt and Ryan all over again. Matt and Ryan.
So, question. If you fire Everflub, Getsy's got to go too.
No, the whole staff goes.
Okay. I just, because we've been talking about firing. I'm assuming you were thinking that the whole staff goes if
put the water boy in charge, if, for all I care, at that point.
Actually, might be better at play calling.
I mean, I'm not kidding. Like, at that point, just put in whoever and whatever, because I don't give a shit.
And there we go. We'll have the first pick for the next year.
I don't know if we'll have the first pick, but what I'm more afraid of is what I talked about earlier, is going all out to get Caleb Williams. He's good. He's damn good. But again, where do we go? Do we go to college to find creativity? Do we try a college coach? I'm being dead serious. There has to be, like, to me, the Bears are looking in all the wrong places. They're just like, we talk about we need creativity in the offense. We need creativity in the front office. We need to go look. I'm talking, look at Canada. Look everywhere. I know it might not be a popular pick, like going to college and bringing in like someone from the college, but
Deion Sanders?
Look, I'm glad you brought this up, because that's where I was kind of going. Everywhere he's gone, he's made an impact, and he continues to do it today. They play Colorado State, plays Colorado.
Wow. Right.
That'll be a good game.
Well, and here's what I like about Deion. Deion's not afraid to be his own man and to think outside of the box. And for too long, Bears fans have suffered from too many traditionalist football minds that could not get outside where the rest of the league is at. And we still can't. And until you can get outside of that, you're going to be locked into it.
Yeah, for sure. look, Deion might be a possibility. I can't hurt, right?
No.
I can't. I mean,
he'll give the job to you.
I mean, seriously, something. I'm not at X's. Oh my god.
Big night last night, huh?
I'm not an X's and O's kind of guy, but I think I can put the right people in place, and I'm not even joking about that. Like, when, again, Eberflus gets hired, that was the first thing everyone says. We're like, what the hell? Why?
Yeah.
That's literally, so, you know, I'm not going to keep harping on that much, but it just, look, we're at to the point, guys, where, you know, it is what it is, and we just got to go from there and figure this out and hope this season's not a disaster. But just to get your final loss, right?
Yeah.
The Sunday loss.
Oh, absolutely loss. I think this defense is known for blitzing the quarterback. I think Fields is going to be running for his life all game long. I think Vita gets 3 to 4 sacks. I think, unfortunately, because Fields going to be running for his life, we throw at least 1 or 2 interceptions. I don't see the defense stopping Baker Mayfield. And, you know, I'm not saying Baker Mayfield's a bad quarterback, but guys, he's not going to be the best quarterback we see by any stretch of the imagination. And he's probably going to beat us at this point in time. The defensive lack of communication is just so bad. You can't have that much talent on the field, and there is talent there, gang, and have so little coordination and communication. Just pathetic. This Sunday, you will see me with a new shirt on. Do you know what the shirt will say?
What's that?
Fire ever flub.
Well, look, as far as the podcast goes, I think we're going to try our best now to be more upbeat, because we know what this team is. I think we got all the negativity out. There's still going to be some, critiques.
I've still got some pus left.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, for the most part, I think we're good to go.
Yep.
And, well, hey, we'll take it one game at a time, and that's all we can do at this point. But, man, just buckle up. It's about to be an ugly and bumpy ride, folks.
Just remember, folks, alcohol, because no great story ever started with someone eating a salad.
All right, remember, it's always a good time when you
burn down.